Our Letters from Camp Training Camp podcast is brought to you by Bella Construction, a five-star home improvement contractor proudly serving the Pittsburgh area for over 20 years. Visit mybellaroof.com and request a quote today.
We're not going to micromanage or overmanage this quarterback competition. The depth chart will not rest on every throw.
Note that when Mike Tomlin gave us that quote on reporting day for the Pittsburgh Steelers in Latrobe, he didn't say anything about what the fans and media should do, though, did he? That's because he knows we'll be doing exactly the opposite when it comes to his quarterbacks. It's another Bella Construction Training Camp podcast here at Trib Live. Bella Construction, a five-star home improvement contractor, proudly serving the Pittsburgh area for over 20 years. Visit mybellaroof.com and request a quote today. For many who have been at training camp over the past few days, if we were doing what Tomlin is talking about, the depth chart would probably be reshuffled to have Mason Rudolph on top, with Mitch Trubisky second and Pitt rookie Kenny Pickett third. Honestly, though, it kind of should be that way, shouldn't it? Rudolph has been with the Steelers since 2018. Meanwhile, Mitch Trubisky was signed in March and Kenny Pickett was just drafted in April. Running with some familiar second-teamers, Rudolph should be looking good right now against many second-team defenders, especially since particularly on day one, a lot of his throws were conservative checkdowns, whereas Trubisky seemed to be the most willing to take chances and experiment in his new offense. That said, on day two, Rudolph did hit Gunnar Olszewski on a deep pass that resulted in what would have been a touchdown of roughly 60 yards. According to what Rudolph said, actually he echoes some comments that Chase Claypool made on day one when everybody reported to training camp. He says, expect a little bit more of an aggressive approach offensively and a hope for more of a quick strike attack from the Steelers' offense this year.
If you look at most teams' explosive plays, there's a lot of play action. There's a lot of play action pass, and I think we got to have more of that than we did the last few years. But I think we got the guys to do that. We got the play caller to do that, and I think that's something that Matt Canada's always enjoyed doing and calling, and that's a bread and butter part of his offense. So we are going to play action pass, and we're going to just generally push the ball in the field.
Meanwhile, as one would expect, Pickett does look like he's going through a lot of what Rudolph did in his first few years with the Steelers and what Trubisky battled early in his career with Chicago. Things do seem to be moving quickly for Pickett. He's had some jumpy feet on a few throws that he thought could have been completed. Some have been intercepted by down-the-roster defensive backs. His trademark poise and pocket command that we saw at Pitt have yet to manifest. Then again, should they, after just two pro training camp practices, for crying out loud? Here's Pickett on reporting day.
What's your objective, Dave?
Objective?
Yeah.
Just get better and play. I mean, I got to, get some more reps in a new offense, new system, get more comfortable and just compete, really.
The point I'm driving at here is that if Pickett, who was universally dubbed as the most cable-ready quarterback in the draft this year, if the learning curve is steep for him, it's only fair to wonder how things are going for Malik Willis in Tennessee or Matt Corral in Charlotte or Desmond Ridder in Atlanta. But the other side of that coin could be that what we are seeing early in camp is a justification for the Steelers' approach to holding on to Mason Rudolph instead of cutting or trading him, at least until Pickett gets up to speed. And if Pickett doesn't do so by training camp's end or even the trade deadline on November the 1st, maybe Rudolph will be the full-time backup all year here in Pittsburgh, and Pickett will potentially be the equivalent of an NFL redshirt. Except the problem is in the NFL, those redshirt seasons still come off your contract, and they come off your contract when you're playing for the cheapest. In part because of reasons like that one, some are preemptively putting out a warning blast about how to view the Steelers' selection of Pickett if he isn't at least the second-string guy in 2022, folks such as Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, just as an example, he recently went on 93.7 The Fan and said, if Kenny Pickett can't leapfrog Mason Rudolph, then the Steelers got the Pickett pick wrong. I don't see it that way. if the Steelers genuinely think that Pickett is going to be a 10-year franchise quarterback, if he doesn't play in year one, so be it. And if he doesn't play in year one because he is third string versus second string, what's the difference? The Steelers just need to be right about Pickett's ceiling being worthwhile by the time he does start, whether that's in 2023 or 24 after Mitch Trubisky's contract ends. He better be really good in that first year as a starter, too. If that happens, then it's not the wrong pick based on what happened in 2022. If he's a worthwhile, high-ceiling quarterback starter for the next 8 or 9 years after that, even if no one was selected in the first round who could have otherwise positively impacted this team that went 9-8 last year and could struggle to make the playoffs again this year. You see, I keep coming back to the idea that if Pickett isn't any better than third string as a rookie, it's not an indictment of the pick. We won't know that until Pickett is given the starting job. It's not even an indictment of choosing a quarterback at all, be it Pickett or had it been someone else like Ridder, Willis, or Corral. Rather, it's an indictment of the franchise's stated logic for making the pick of Pickett over any one of those quarterbacks that we mentioned earlier. Because the frequently stated belief of Tomlin and former general manager Kevin Colbert was that Pickett had been worthy of the number 21 pick in the draft because he was so mature and polished as an incoming rookie. Here was Kevin Colbert's quote on draft night. "Kenny is just a mature, even-keeled guy. We feel that the maturity that he had displayed on and off the field will help him." Tomlin added, "He's 24 years old. He's a mature young man. You do see maturity in his game, and I think all those things are going to put him in a position to compete." Well, if that's what's separating Pickett from the rest of his draft class, isn't then his best attribute now being rendered moot if he is being put in dry storage for a year? That's what I think is bugging some Steelers fans. That's what I think has some people scratching their heads about the Steelers' approach to the quarterback competition. It's not frustrating because Pickett isn't being handed the job immediately. Tom Brady threw 3 passes and played in 1 game during his first season. Patrick Mahomes didn't start as a rookie until the last game of the regular season. Unlike those situations, the public was sold on Pickett's hit-the-ground-running resume in Pittsburgh. If Pickett barely even dresses as a rookie on game days, then those platitudes from Colbert and Tomlin on draft night are going to seem rather empty. But I don't think the Steelers' year-long quarterback debate ever will get empty. Now, as far as what's going on in some other places, let's check out what happened in Seattle yesterday. And every time a wide receiver signs a contract extension, it makes you wonder what that does to the state of negotiations between the Steelers and Deontay Johnson. Yesterday, another very expensive domino fell as DK Metcalf signed a contract to extend his career with the Seattle Seahawks. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the franchise gave Metcalf a 3-year, $72 million extension that features $58.2 million in guaranteas. That guaranteed total apparently includes a $30 million signing bonus, the highest ever for a wide receiver. Metcalf was the last pick in the second round of the 2019 draft, which was number 64 overall, 2 spots before the Steelers took Deontay Johnson. Metcalf has a combined 216 catches for 3,100 yards and 29 touchdowns. Johnson actually has more receptions by a handful. I think he had 254, but that trails in yards, 2,764, and touchdowns, which is 20 for him. Keep in mind, though, Metcalf had Russell Wilson as his quarterback in Seattle, and Johnson had 2 years, the last 2 years, of an aging Ben Roethlisberger and the Mason Rudolph Duck Hodges combo as a rookie. Here's the update on Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. The wait continues for a new contract with him. He told media members on Thursday he wants to get a deal done. Head coach John Harbaugh recently said both sides are motivated to get a long-term deal completed. Jackson is set to play in 2022 on the fifth-year option of his rookie deal. That's worth $23 million. He doesn't have an agent. He's negotiating the contract by himself because, quote, "I don't like people in my business." Well, maybe this is business that an agent would help Lamar in. Jackson isn't going through the Holden routine that Deontay Johnson is doing or like T.J. Watt did last year with the Steelers. Those two showed up to practice every day but only did individual workouts. Jackson is actually practicing with the team. Out west, the Arizona Cardinals are eliminating the homework mandate from Kyler Murray's contract. He recently signed an extension on Thursday. It's worth up to $230 million. Roughly $105 million of that was guaranteed at signing, and $160 million is guaranteed for injury. But Murray didn't like the clause in his contract that became public where there was an addendum that required 4 hours of independent study per game week. Murray was unhappy about how that clause in the contract was being interpreted, and as a result, the team decided to scrap the line entirely, and they put out a public statement saying they were doing so. And finally, in Carolina, Panthers quarterback Baker Mayfield apparently wants to distance himself from his time with the Cleveland Browns as much as possible. At Panthers training camp, there was a video that was posted of him kind of playfully yelling at a fan to get rid of his Cleveland number 6 jersey. Fan showed up in that jersey and Baker didn't like it, and he wanted the fan to take it off. After the Browns traded for Deshaun Watson during the offseason, Mayfield requested a trade out of Cleveland. The Panthers picked him up for a 2024 fifth-round draft choice. All right, that'll do it for our first week of Bella Construction Podcast. Hopefully you have enjoyed them here at Trib Live. Make sure you check them out at their website, mybellaroof.com. Request a quote today, and we will be back with Madden Monday. That's in a couple days here at Trib Live.